And we're holding the last word of Samach Beis Amud Beis. We've been discussing the whole matter of a person worships Avodah Zarah using any of the four avodas, which we said are supposed to be reserved to Ashvar Hashem. Well, three avodas and bowing down. And we learned yesterday Braisa that Rabbi Zakkai had said two versions of a Braisa, according to which if he does all more than one of these things behelam echad in one period of not knowing, then he'd be chayav one chatas. And Rabbi Yochanan had disagreed with that and said he'd be chayav separate chatos for each one. In the course of that, we mention a statement of Rabbi Ami that says a similar thing. Rashi and Tosfos discuss that a difference between them is that Rabbi Zakkai had mentioned all four things, Zibuach, Kitu, Nisuch, and Hishtachavah, whereas Rabbi Ami is not mentioning Hishtachavah. But Rabbi Ami is saying that if a person were to do three of them, the Zibuach, the Kitu, and the Nisuch, all of which we said we have one pasuk that says, don't shech to Avodah Zarah, Zeveach le'elokim yochram, in this week's parasha, and from that we learned also Kitur and Nisuch, then those would all be in the same category. So now the Gemara says Gufa, so let's getting back to that and analyzing what Rabbi Ami said. That if he does these three things in one helam, then he'd be chayiv only one chatas. So in other words, so here we don't have Ishtachava because fine, we said Ishtachava, as we learned yesterday at length, Ishtachava l'chalik yotza, it's coming to tell us that each individual thing, if he does know about them individually, then he'd be chayev for each one of them. Meaning if he knows that so if he knows this is Avodah Zarah, but he doesn't know that but he doesn't know that these two separate things are also to it, then he would be chayev one chatas. But other than that, zibuach, kitur, and nisuch would be all in one category, and therefore he'd be bringing only one chatas for them. Amar Abaye, my time of Rabbi Ami. So Abaye says, why does Rabbi Ami say that? Because the pasuk says generically, don't worship them. Meaning that with that, the Torah is making all these different kinds of avodas to be one thing. So therefore, he's only chayev. So therefore, he's chayev only one chatas for them. Now there is actually a good deal of discussion about so Rashi mentions over here this point that Rashi explains over here this point that the fact that the Gemara is saying that it says loisa ovdeim, but the question is that the question is that before we said so first of all, how many times does it say, loisa ovdeim, and then how many? What are we learning? What are we learning from each one of them? Actually, you know what? That's later on. Actually, when we talk about Shloika Dauka, so we'll deal with that later on the Amud. Okay. In any case, so Abaye is saying that's why, because it says loisa ovdeim, don't worship them. So therefore, that includes all the avodas. So therefore, for that purpose, they're considered one avoda. So we would say, in other words, Hishtachava is l'chalak yotza. As we said, it means that it's singled out. If a person bows to the Avodah Zarah, even though it's behelam echad with the other ones, and he does bring a chatas for that, but not necessarily that he'd be chayiv individually for the other avodas. So the question is, umi omar Abaya hochi? Did Abaya really say that? But Abaye himself says, Lama. Why does it say three times in connection with Avodah Zarah does it say Loisishtachva? Now you have like this: the three times it actually explains are in the Aseres Hadibros, and then you have in our parasha Loisishtachva lekehem, and you have later on in Parshas Kisisa you have Ki Loisishtachva lekelacher. Rashi points out, really, I mean, in a way, you have a fourth, because the Aseres Hadibros are repeated in Parshas Yisro and again in Parshas Vayeshanan, but that we don't really consider separate, because that's Moshe is repeating over to the Jewish people what he had heard at Har Sinai, as we talked about the other day. We don't say. We talked about last week when we talked about Kashet Sivcha Hashem Alekecha, but it says in some of the Aseres Hadibros in Parshas Yisro, we had Tosfos had explained over there. It didn't mean that. Moshe, or actually Rashi had said there, it doesn't mean that Moshe is telling them something, is adding his own words to the Aseret Dibros. You should know you were already commanded these things by 40 years ago by Har Sinai. Rather, what the Hashem himself is saying, Kashetzivcha, Hashem Alekecha, namely that you were commanded in Mara. And from there we learn that that a couple of these mitzvahs, Shabbos and Kibbutz Avraham, were already given to them in Mara a few weeks before Matan Torah. In any case, the same thing over here, just because it says Loisa Avdem in the first Dibros and in the second, that's all considered one thing, but we have two other psukim. So Abaye says then altogether you have three times where it says not to worship of a dezara, lama. So why do we have three of them? Achas l'kedarka, one teaches us when it's the normal way to worship the avodah zarah by bowing to it. Va'achas shaloi kedarka, another one tells us when it's not the normal way to worship it. For example, let's say pa'ur, which is worshipped in other ways. And the third one is telling us to tell us that each one is individually a chatas for itself. So the same way as the shtachava, like we learned yesterday about havora on Shabbos, that once it says havora separately, then it means that we see from that a person is chayv a chatas for that. Then we learn he's chayv a chatas individually for each of the other malachas. Sabai says the same thing is true as far as the avodas of avodah zarah, that he'd be chayv individually for each one. So then Abaya is telling us that that a person does bring a chatas separately for each one. So what is Abaya explaining that Rab Ami says because it says lo sa'avdim? And the answer is Ledvarav de Rab Ami, kama v'lo lo svirale. It means that Abaya is explaining what Rab Ami holds, but he himself doesn't agree with that. He himself holds that there's a separate chatas for each one. So what would Abaya do with the what would Abaya do with the so he says that you have the lois of dames is teaching us he would hold that the fact that it says loisa of them again means there's extra lavim involved. Rabbi Ami is going to say that it means lav yotza, and Abaya is going to say that it means that there's extra lavim involved if a person does bow to avodah zarah. Tosfos points out that earlier in a couple of blocks ago we had where we needed another pasuk when the avodah zarah is usually not worshipped in an honorable way, when it's worshipped in a degrading way, like Baal Pa'ur and Merkulis, where there we said we needed a pasuk to tell us that there's a punishment for bowing to it. But once we see that once we see by the Azhara, then we know the same is true by Oynish. So therefore, so one of Abaya's psukim over here is being used to tell us that there's an Azhara, that there's a warning not to do that. Okay, so fine. So Rab Ami holds that there's only, so Rab Ami holds the maximum that a person could get, the Halam Echad, as far as Chatoris is true. If he were to bow to Avodah Zarah and do the other three Avodas, all the Halam Echad, then he'd be bringing one Chatos for the bowing and one to cover everything else. Now, Gufa, getting back to what Abaya himself said, he said, why does it say three times about bowing by Avodah Zarah? So we have these three, one to tell us that where it's the normal way of worshipping it, one where it's not the normal way, and the third tells us that every one individual is a lav and therefore is a chatas. The question is, why does he need one of them for kedarka? L'kedarka me'echa yavdu agoy ma'ela nafka. Don't we learn that if it's kedarka, if it's the normal way of worshiping that avodah zarah, then he doesn't need a posik for that. He doesn't need a posik for that. We have that automatically from the words Eicha Yavdu Agoy Ma'ela. How do these nations worship their gods? And I'm going to think to do the same thing. And the Torah is telling you don't do that. So you don't need a posik for anything that's kedarka. So if it happens that this particular avodah zarah is worshipped by bowing to it, then we don't need a posik to tell us that he's chayav for that. We have the other posik. So Ella, fine. What Abaya means is achas kedarka, vishaloi kedarka. One of them teaches us whether it's hishtach, when he bows, whether it's kedarka or shaloi kedarka, meaning whether it's something that's normally worshipped. It you could have kedarka, kedarka vishaloi kedarka. Rashi explains, meaning in other words that it's we're not talking about avodah zarah that's worshipped in a degrading way, like Baal Pa'ur and Merkulis. What we mean is, let's say there's an avodah zarah that's worshipped in a different honorable way, but people don't usually bow to it. So let's say, for example, people do other kinds of honor. Okay? Say, for example, we had learned in the Mishnah, you have, for example, hugging and kissing it. So we'd said a person who hugs and kisses an avodah zarah, where it's not normal to worship it that way, then he's not chayev misa, then he's only chayev, he's only over a lav for that. But now let's say the other way around. What if the avodah zarah is normally worshipped by kissing and he goes and bows to it? So it's kedarka v'shaloi kedarka. On the one hand, it's kedarka because it's normal to worship it in an honorable way, but shaloi kedarka because the fact is people don't worship it by bowing. So therefore, so Rashi explains that. So it has to mention that point. So in other words, you have it's one thing when a person, if we didn't have all these psukim, we would have thought that's fine. In a case like that, he's chayav for bowing to it because at least it's worship normally in an honorable way. Let's say by kissing. But now, what if you have for example Baal Pa'ur, which is worshipped in a very degrading way, and not only does nobody bow to it, nobody does anything honorable to it. So you would think that maybe he's potter for that. Therefore, you need these psukim to be telling us that. And then Rashi goes on to say that we did say before that if a person shechts a korban to Pa'ur Merkulus, then he's chayev. Once we see that a person even bows to such an avodah zarah, then kavah choymer if he shechts it. But we can't learn all from ishtachavah, because again, then it would mean everything that's covered, and we learned in the Mishnah that everything that's covered is not, unless it's a normal way of worshipping it. So the bottom line is that we need all the psukim that we're talking about. We need one to tell us where it's normal to worship this avodah zarah honorably, but not by bowing, and he bows to it, that nevertheless he's chayev, because bowing is one of the four avodas. We also need separately to be told that if he worships an avodah zarah that's normally worshipped in a degrading way, like Merkulis, and instead he bows or shechts to it, then we need two different psukim to tell us that he's chayev, one to tell us that that's true even of bowing, and the other one to tell us that that it's true only of the other three avodas, which are done in the Beis Mikdash and not anywhere else. So one teaches us kedarka v'shaloi kedarka, where it's normal to worship it in an honorable way, but not by bowing. V'achas l'shaloi kedarka. Another one is, for example, where the avodah zarah is always worshipped in a degrading way, such as throwing stones at it or going to the bathroom in front of it. And v'achas l'chalik. And the third one tells us that he's chayav an individual chatas for each one. So Abaya is saying that's what you need the three psukim for. So again, according to him, you don't have the point that Rabbi Ami was saying that there could be a case where he does separate avoidus and he's chayev only one chatas. In fact, he would be chayev a separate chatas for each one, and that's what we learn from one of the loitsa of names. And again, we can't learn everything from Ishtachavah, otherwise we would say hugging and kissing is included as well, which is why we need the pasuk zeveach, which is why we need the pasuk to teach us that we learned a couple of days ago that if he sacrifices to Merkulis, for example, he'd still be chayev zeveach le'elokim yachram. But we can't learn that from Ishtachavah, because then it would end up including everything. Okay. So that's that. So in short, we have different opinions on the subject when a person does these various avodas behelam echad. According to Rabbi Zakkai's Braisa, we said he does all four things behelam echad. He's bringing only one chatas. According to Rabbi Ami, he's bringing two, one for the ishtachavah and one to cover everything else. And according to Abaya, he's bringing a separate. According to Abaya, he's bringing a separate chatas for each one. Okay. Next, the Mishnah said Hamakabler Ola Belika, that another case where a person is chayiv misa for avodah zarah is where he accepts it on him as a god. He says to it, "You are my god," which, as we talked about in the Mishnah, Rashi says there's two possibilities. When the Mishnah had said might just be an explanation. What does it mean? What does it mean he accepted as a god? Namely, where he says Keliata. Or the other possibility Rashi had said in the Mishnah is there are two separate things. One is talking about when the avodah zarah is not present, and he says, "I accept such and such as Keli," and the other one is where he's actually in front of it and says Keliata. In any case, the point is that we're saying that either way, by saying that he accepts it as his God, then already he's Chayiv Skila. So the Gemara says, Omer Rav Nachman, Omer Rav, Omer Rav, Omer Rav. Once he says, you are my God, then he's chayev. So the Gemara asks, Lamai, as far as what is Rav saying that? Iliktola, is Rav saying that to tell us that then he's chayev nisa? There's no chiddush in it, masnis in he. That's exactly what the Mishnah had said. Ela korban. So evidently, we have to say that Rav is what Rav Nachman is telling us in the name of Rav is the fact that he'd be chayev a korban. If he didn't know that's also to do such a thing, then he's bringing a chatas to, then he's bringing a chatas for such a thing. So the question is, now are you telling me that that would work even according to the Chachamim, who as we're going to go on to say, they now you have like this. The Torah says, the Torah describes the case of Megadif. The person Megadif means somebody who angers and blasphemes Hashem. So what exactly is the definition of Megadif? So you have a Machloikas, of the Chachamim and Rabbi Akiva about it. Does Megadif mean that he says, now the Pasuk says that if he does bemazid, then he's bringing a chatos, and then he's chayev kares, and therefore if he's chayev kares bemazid, then it would mean he's bringing a chatos b'shogeg. But that's the usual, that's the that because that's the usual rule. Anything that's almost anything that's chayev kares bemazid, then there's a chatos b'shogeg. Now, so you have a machlokas. What does Megadif mean? Does it mean somebody who's actually who's just saying something against Hashem, or does it mean someone who's doing something? So now the Chachamim hold that that Megadif can't just mean that he's saying something, because he wouldn't be bringing a korban. He wouldn't be bringing a korban for that. So they have to understand that Megadif means that he's actually bowing to or doing something or doing some kind of action for Avodah Zarah. So Vartani, we learn in a Braisa, Ein Chayev El Al Dava Sheyesh Be Maisa. What kind of things he Chayev a korban for? He were talking about Shogeg when he does something that involves a Maisa. Kugon Zibuach the Kitu V'Nisach Ishtachava. So any of the four Avodas that we've been talking about all this time. The Pasuk says V'Osa Achas Mikol Mitzvah Hashem, that he does one of the things that Hashem said not to do. Tosfos points out that's actually not the pasuk that we learn it from. It's actually a different pasuk. But in any case, the point is there has to be a maaseh, say the chachamim. V'omer Rish Lakish man tana ishtachava, and Rish Lakish says, which tana would it be that says that he'd be chayev a chatas even for bowing to Avodah Zarah? Rabbi Akiva he, d'omer loy b'in and maaseh. That would be according to Rabbi Akiva, who holds that Megadif is that the definition of Megadif is it's enough that he speaks against Hashem, and therefore, and for that alone, Rabbi Akiva holds he's chayev a chatas. Aye, there's no real mice involved. There's just talk. Nevertheless, Rabbi Akiva holds that that's enough. So now, then, all the more so, bowing would be considered enough of a mice that Rabbi Akiva would be mechayev and mechatas for it. Therefore, miklal. So we see that Rabbi Akiva would hold that he's chayev chatas for that Rabbi Akiva is chayev chatas for bowing. Now, Rabbi Akiva would say, for example, if let's say he only thought about Avodah Zarah, he wouldn't be chayev for it. But Rabbi Akiva says, once he already speaks, then that's enough to be mechayev hemachatas. So therefore, if he speaks, and that would include also if he's saying to the Avodah Zarah keliata. However, miklal drabon and savri burn and maisa. We see that the chachamim hold that he needs an actual maisa. So they would say that even just bowing, even just bending at the waist, would not be considered enough of a maisa, and he can't be chayev a korban for that, let alone speaking. So how can Rav say as a blanket statement, kiven sh'omala keli ata chayev, it comes out that what we're saying would be only according to Rabbi Akiva and not according to the chachamim. So the Gemara says, fine, ki koma Rav nami l'Rabbi Akiva koma. Fine, what Rav is saying is really only according to Rabbi Akiva. It's true. The Chachamim would disagree with that and say he's not chayev a chatos for saying keliata, because they wouldn't consider that enough of a maisa. So in that case, then it would mean in the whole sugya before when we had ishtachavah l'chalak yotzas. So we would say, in other words, that it's teaching us that a person is chayev individually for each one, but according to the chachamim, he wouldn't be chayev for ishtachavah itself, because there's not enough of a maisa, and that's not enough to be mechayev in a korban. So the question is, Rabbi Akiva pshita? Well, according to, if you're talking about according to Rabbi Akiva, then of course he's of course, if Rabbi Akiva holds he's chayev as megadif, chayne megadif, then that's exactly megadif, where he's saying something. So megadif would be where he's cursing Hashem, or speaking in honor of, you know, speaking and saying that I'm accepting of a zorah or whatever. And Rabbi Akiva holds exactly that as the definition of megadif, and holds that he's chayev koris or chatas for it. So then, what's Rav Chiddush? What's Rav's Chiddush? The answer is still Maud Tema. You might have thought Ad Kan, like Mechayev Rabbi Akiva Korban Elo B'Megadif. You know when Rabbi Akiva is being Mechayev a Korban, it's specifically by Megadif, where he's blaspheming and cursing Hashem, Dichtib BeKores, where after all the Pasuk does say Kores in connection with that. First, the Pasuk describes a person worships Avodah Zarah, and it says that he brings a chata, b'shoigig, and it says he brings a chatas for it, and then it continues, and talks about the Megadif. So therefore, so you can say that back to back, it talks over there about the korban and about the megadif. So therefore, we can learn from that it means that if he's megadif b'shoigig, then he's bringing a korban. But when it comes to worshiping avodah zarah in other ways, or when it comes to over here, when it comes to saying keliata, which is not megadif, actually means, so megadif means blaspheming, means cursing Hashem, like what we learned, a few days ago about birkas Hashem. So then Rabbi Akiva would say that, listen, since it says right next to the concept of bringing a korban b'shoigig, so we'd learn if a person didn't know that it's also to do that, then he's bringing a chatas. But when it comes to saying keliata, deloy ksivbe koris, it doesn't say koris in connection with saying any such thing. It mentions koris elsewhere about avodah zarah, but not necessarily in this particular case. Emaloy, so you would think that maybe you shouldn't be chayav a korban. Kamash malon, therefore Rav is telling us, no, Kushi itkush, we do have a hekish between saying keliata and sacrificing to avodah zarah, where for sure we know that's one of the four avodas, and he is chayav achatas for that. Dichtiv, because we find by the eagle, by yishtach v'loy, by yizbachu, loy v'yomru v'gomer, they bowed to it, and they sacrificed to it, and they said Eli alekecha Yisrael. So we see that saying Eli Elokecha Yisrael is tantamount to bringing a korban, and therefore he's chayav achatas for it as well. So Rav is talking only within Rabbi Akiva's opinion, but the chiddush is that you should know that Rabbi Akiva's opinion of what Megadif is also extends to this kind of thing of saying keliata. So I was going to say before, by the way, in connection with the whole discussion about Lois Sa'ovdem and what Abaya is doing with the various psukim that says Lois Sa'ovdem. So Rashi had mentioned the point that Abaya had said that one point is that it means that Abaya would say that he's chayev multiple, he's being over on multiple lavim if he worships the avodah zarah shalai kadauk. Different achronim point out that Rav is contradicting that Rashi is contradicting himself in various places. Earlier, a few dafim ago, on Samach Amud Beis, Rashi had said that Lois Sa'ovdem includes anything that shows respect for the avodah zarah, like hugging and kissing it. And here Rashi is saying that, it means that he's being over on extra lavim. And then, in addition, in the Mishnah, actually Rashi had brought other psukim to say that he's not allowed to hug or kiss the avodah zarah, and he doesn't in fact mention loisa of them. So Rashi seems to be contradicting himself. So a number of the mafoshim discuss that. Maybe there's actually a toast soifer in Rashi. Mar Shofar infers it that. Mar Shofar infers it by saying that by saying that if you only had what does Mar Shah say that since in one place it says lois ishtach v'lahem lois sa'ovdem, and another place it's just lois sa'ovdem, so therefore it comes to include, so it can't be just hugging and kissing because those aren't avoida, so therefore it should just say lois sa'ovdem and not say lois ishtach the pasuk could have said lois ishtach v'lahem twice, and instead it's lois ishtach v'lahem lois sa'ovdem. Here the Mar Shah actually changed the girsa in Rashi, and Mar Shah tries to defend Rashi's original girsa, and then And there's different discussions about what exactly Rashi is doing over here with Loisa Avdeim in the different places, how we reconcile what Rashi is explaining. There might be a Ma'adura Kama, Ma'adura Baster in Rashi, or there might be other points as well about what Rashi means with his comments in the different places about what Abaya is doing with the Loisa Avdeim. One possibility is also in the Mishnah, Rashi may be explaining according to Rabami, and he is explaining according to Abaya. Fine. Getting back to the Gemara over here. So we're saying that Rav has to tell us that if he says Keliata, he's already Chayav Achata. So that would only be according to Rabbi Akiva, not according to the Chachamim, and the chiddush is that Rabbi Akiva would include that in his definition of Megadif as well. Having quoted that pasuk about the Egel, where they said Eloi Elokecha Yisrael, so now the Gemara brings a drasha on that. Amar Rabbi Yechanan, Vav Elucha, if it were now like this, when they were saying Eloi Elokecha Yisrael, Asher He'elucha Me'eretz Mitzrayim. He'elucha is in the plural. It means that they brought you up. So now they're talking about one eagle. So why are they using the plural? So if it weren't for them sticking in that vav and saying he'elucha rather than in the singular helcha, the wicked Jews, meaning the Jews as a whole, would have deserved to be destroyed completely. Because in other words, if they had said he'elcha, it would mean that they're denying Hashem altogether, and they're attributing the they're attributing Yetzias Mitzrayim exclusively to the Egel. But now, at least like this, it means that they're sort of combining together Hashem and the Egel. They're saying that the two of them together brought us out of Mitzrayim, so that at least spared them from being completed from being completely destroyed. So the Gemara points out Ketanoi. This is actually subject to a Machlokas Tanoim. Not everybody agrees with that point that by saying He'elucha they save themselves, because that creates another problem. Because Achirim, which usually means Rabbi Meir says exactly what Rabbi Yechanan had said, Umole Vav She'elucha Nischayv Rishayim She'isro Kloya, but Omaloy Rabbi Shimon Ben Yochai, but Rabbi Shimon Ben Yochai says, how does that help any? V'haloy kol ha'mashtatef shem shamayim v'davar acher nekem min ha'olam. Isn't it so that anybody who combines together the name of Hashem with something else and worships something else together with Hashem is also uprooted from the world? Shenemar, as the pasuk says in our parasha, bilti la'Hashem levadai, exclusively to Hashem. Zaveach la'elokim yochram, bilti la'Hashem levadai. All of our worship has to be exclusively to Hashem. So not Hashem plus the eagle, la'avdil. So how does it help that they said he'elucha? That doesn't make anything any better. So what do we learn from the word he'elucha? Means that the Jewish people wanted many other gods. They had the eagle there in front of them, but in fact they were looking to worship other gods as well, and therefore they use the word he'elucha for that. But not to mean Hashem plus the eagle. So when Rabbi Yochanan is saying that the Vav of He'elucha is what saved them from total destruction, that's only according to Acherim. Rabbi Shimon would disagree with that. Now, Marsha explains that everybody agrees that, of course, denying Hashem is very, very bad. Rabbi Shimon is saying that even just believing in Hashem plus Avodah Zarah is also deserves to be nekem min ha'olam, deserves to be uprooted from the world, because it means that he's believing in Hashem plus something else. It's called a belief called shniyos. But here, what we're saying is that here, what they're thinking is that Hashem, that as the Gemara says at the end of Menachos, they thought of Hashem as the God over all the other gods, that Hashem is giving power to the world, chas v'shalom, through different powers. Now that's pretty bad, but it's not as bad as thinking that Hashem has to have a partner, so to speak. So in fact, Maoshe goes on to say that when later on, when Moshe says to Hashem, "Re'ei, look, ata omer elai ha'alasa'om, you're telling me bring up the people." Moshe is also using that as an excuse to defend the Jewish people. He's saying, "Listen, all this time you've been telling me you bring up the Jewish people, meaning that they thought that you that they thought that you're delegating it to me. So now they thought in the same way that Hashem is delegating things through the eagle. So they didn't mean shittuf, which is a problem. We're going to talk more about shittuf about." Combine this idea of Chas V'Shalom, of combining Hashem with something else. We'll talk about it more on Omer Beis as it relates to Goyim. A number of the Achronim point out, actually, the Chidah points out, and others, that you have in Sefer Nehemiah. So we have there's Psukim in Nehemiah. We have a long tefillah that the Levim say over there, recapping all of Jewish history up to that point, and all the chesed that the Eibishter had done for us, the few of the psukim that we say in morning davening, and Vayivarech David, and V'chores, are taken from there. Ata hu Hashem l'vadecha, ata siseh sashamayim, b'charta b'avram, zarkosim shamata al yamsuf, etc. And we end off over there by Kriyas Yamsuf, but the psukim go on over there for 20-odd more psukim, talking about the great things that Hashem did for us, and the rachmanos he had on us, and so forth. And now asking Hashem to continue having Rachmanos on us in Golos. Anyway, they quote the pasuk over there. They say that they said Ze elekecha asher helcha. Here they use Ze, not Ela, like in the pasuk in Shmos, and helcha rather than helucha. So don't you have the same problem if they're using the word helcha rather than helucha? So there's a couple of different answers to that. One of them being Ben Yehoyada gives an answer that what it means is there were some people who were saying helcha, but most of the people didn't. So most of them did say helucha in the plural, which we're saying over here, according to the mayor, means that they believed in Hashem, but also the eagle. And according to the Shimon, means that they believed in many gods. So Levium are quoting that way that it was said that some people, that a few of the people said it, but most of the people in fact didn't say it that way, which is how the Gemara is saying over here that they saved themselves by not doing that. So then a different Chassam Sofer gives a different answer. The fact that they're saying Ela, these in Parshas in Chumash Shmos, if they continued Hashem Helcha, then it would mean that the Egel they think has all the power, means that they're denying Hashem completely, as opposed to in Nehemiah where they're saying Zeh, then it means they're saying fine, this one Helcha brought you up, but it still means that they're not denying Hashem completely. Ben Yehoyada, by the way, Darshan's in this connection. You have at the end of Eicha, Al Zeh Hoyadavar Libenu, Al Eila Choshchoinenu, means the Zeh and the Eila that the people were saying respectively, where some of them are saying Zeh and some of them are saying Eila. All right, anyway, getting back to the Gemara. The bottom line is that from that pasuk, "Vayishtachvu lo vayizbuchu lo vayomru Ela elekecha Yisrael," we learn from that hekesh that, at least according to Rabbi Akiva, that saying Ela elekecha is tantamount to bring a korban, and therefore that he's chayev to bring a korban to the avodah zarah. Therefore, if he does it b'shogeg, he's bringing a chatas. And in addition, we're saying a drash on it over here that according to the mayor, at least it's a good thing they said he'elucha, otherwise they would have been in real trouble. Getting back to, so now the Mishnah had said, Avalam of Gapaf Vamanashik, Vamachabid Vamarabit Schola. If a person hugs or kisses or sweeps or sprinkles water to lay down the dust in front of the Avodah Zarah. So those are all things. By the way, Tosfos points out, as far as this Mishat of Shem Shemayim, Vedavar Acher, you have, for example, a Posik. When they're fighting against Midian, that says Chedav LaHashem LeGidon, and they say the sword for Hashem and for Gidon, isn't that shittuf? And the answer is no. The same way as when the Jewish people ask Mechila for Moshe, Dibarnu BaHashem Vavach, we spoke against Hashem and against you. They're not doing it in a way of divinity. They're not saying we worship Hashem and Gidon. They're not saying we worship Hashem and Moshe. They're mentioning it out of respect to the both of them. So therefore, that's fine. So the Mishnah had said again that if he hugs and kisses and does these other things, and then the Mishnah, then he's over on a loisessa, and then the Mishnah had said that if he makes a neder or a shvua in the name of Avodah Zarah, then he's also over on a loisessa.
So the Gemara says, "Ki osir Rav Dimi." When Rav Dimi came from Eretz Yisrael, Omar Rav Elazar, he said that Rav Elazar had said, "Al kulam loike." All of these things we mentioned in the Mishnah, the hugging, the kissing, the sweeping, etc. Even though he's not chayav misa for it, he would be getting malchus for it. Chutz me, anoda b'shmoy, v'amakayim b'shmoy, with the exception of somebody who makes the neder and the shvur or the shvur in the name of Avodah Zarah. Those he wouldn't be getting malchus for, says Rav Dimi. Now, the question is, why would it be that he wouldn't get Malkus for that? On the face of it, it must be, on the face of it, is because the Lav She'in Mei Maisa, as we were just saying before, the saying Keliata, or here, saying a Shavua in the name of Avodah Zarah, is not an actual Maisa. And the usual rule is a person gets Malkus only for a Lav She'yesh Mei Maisa. Well, Hani Nami, Lav Sheba Klolasu. Well, in that case, why should he be chayev for the sweeping or the hugging or the kissing or whatever? Isn't that a Lav Sheba Klolos? Namely, that we have a general statement in the Torah from which we learn many different things that you're not allowed to do. So you have the Pasuk, Lois Seuchu Achre Lekim Achirim. You have the Pasuk, you have the pasuk al tifnu el ha'olilim. So you have different different psukim where, again, if it's not the normal way of worshiping the Avodah Zarah, then he wouldn't be chayav for that. Here you also have the more of that discussion that we were talking about before about what exactly Rashi holds about what we're doing with the various psukim of Lois Sa'avdeim and so on and so forth. So that discussion comes into here as well. Anyway, the point is that it's called a lav shebeklolos because we have one lav that includes many different things. So again, Rashi is saying over here it means lo sa'ovdeim, and primarily the Ran explains that means avodah shedarka bakach, means primarily the kinds of avodah that's normally done for the avodah zarah. So it's considered a lav shebeklolos. It includes many different things. The Ramban mentions the pasuk, but Rashi also mentions lo selchu achre elokim acherim. In any case, so it's a lav shebeklolos. It's a lav that contains within it many different things, and such a thing a person doesn't get malchus for. D'tanya, we learn in a braisa. Here is an example of a lav shebeklolos. Minayin, you have a pasuk in Parshas Kedoshim, lois soichlu al adam. And from that, we learn many different things. The first thing, minayin la'ochem and abehema kodem shetetze nafsha. How do we know if a person eats meat from an animal before its life has completely left it? So he shechted it. It's still thrashing and moving around. And he cuts, he's allowed to cut off a piece of meat from it at that point. A goy is not, but he has to wait, even the yid has to wait until it finished moving around, and only then can he eat that meat. How do we know that if he doesn't, if he eats it at that point while the animal is still moving around, that he's over on the loisa, therefore the pasuk says, don't eat on the blood, meaning when the life is still in the animal. Dover acha, another explanation, loisoichlu al adam, means loisoichlu. Don't eat the meat of the korban when the blood is still in the mizrak, is still in the basin before it's been sprinkled on the mizbeach. Another one, Rav Dosa Omer, minayin shein mavrin haharuge beistin. How do we know that? How do we know that when a person is executed by Beis Din, they don't do a Sudas Havra for him? We talked about before, we learned earlier, we learned in the previous Perek that they don't do Avelos for him, only Oinonus. So part of the Avelos is the Sudas Havra, the first Suda that they give to the Avelim after the Levaya. So how do we know we don't do that for somebody who was executed by Beis Din? Again, Talmud Lomar lo seichlu al adam, don't eat because of the blood, meaning the person who, the person... whose blood was spilled. Now Rashi explains that doesn't specifically mean Harugi Beistin, but Svara would tell us. Obviously, what's it going to mean? You don't do a Sudas Avra for anybody who died. Of course you do. So it means in this case, where they need an extra kapara, then you don't do that. Anyway, so that's another thing we learned from Lysokhla Adam. Another one is Rabbi Akiva Omer Minayin L'Sanhedrin Shehogu Asanefesh Shein Tomen Klum Kolosa Yom. How do we know that on the day that the Sanhedrin executes somebody, they don't eat anything all that day? Again, L'Tamad Lomer L'Seichlu Al Adam. And Omer Rabbi Yechanan Az Horlov and Sora Ramoda Minayin. Where is there the warning in the Torah for a Ben Sora Ramoda? You have the punishment of the Ben Sora Ramoda in Parshas Kiseitse, but you don't have anywhere on the face of it, you don't have anywhere explicitly in the Torah not to do what he did. So again, Talmud Lomar lo seichlu al adam, don't eat in a way that's going to bring to blood, that's going to bring to him getting himself killed. And in fact, therefore, he wouldn't get malchus for doing any of these things, mishum dehavalei lav shebeklolos, because the lav shebeklolos, because the lav that includes many different unrelated things. Now, to be exact, by the ben soter remota, he does get malchus. There, Tosfos says that actually we have in the next perek when we talk about the ben soter remota, we do learn exeda shava to learn when it says v'yisru that they afflict him means that they give him malchus. So that's an exception over here, and in fact he is getting malchus for that. But other than that, we usually say that a lav shebeklolus, a lav that includes in this case many different things. Another example of a lav shebeklolus would be when the Torah says don't do this. So then he's not Chayav Malkus for that. So here, where the Torah is saying, Lois Sa'ovdim, or is telling us a bunch of different unrelated things not to do to Avodah Zarah, things that show it respect, and things that actually that are the regular avodas that are done for it, and the regular avodas and the avodas that are not done for it but are done for Hashem, etc. So therefore, it should be considered a lav shebeklolus. So why are we saying that he's getting malchus for this hugging or kissing or whatever? The Gemara says you're right. Elaki also Rav and Amar Abalazar. I'll call an Einoloika. You're right. A person doesn't get malchus for any of the things in the Mishnah, the hugging or the kissing or the sweeping or whatever. Chutzman anodavan mishmoy v'amakai mishmoy. We're the other way around. It's the opposite of the way Rav Dimi had reported it. Says Ravin, the other way around. He would get malchus for the swearing or for the making a neder or swearing in the name of Avodah Zarah, but not for the other actions that it said in the Mishnah. Well, then the question is, well, then what's the difference? He's not getting malchus for the other ones. We just said the reason is to have a lav shebeklolus because we just established it's a lav shebeklolus and you don't get malchus for that. Hani nami lav shein meisin. Isn't nodu and nishba also should be potter from malchus because it's a lav shein meisa? So Rav Dimi's version of it that he doesn't get malchus for that he does get malchus for the hugging and kissing. The problem was it was a lav shebeklolus. Here, Ravin's version that he's getting malchus for the swearing, then he should. It's also a problem because it's a lav shein memaisa. The answer is Hahu Kirab Yehuda, Drama Lav Shein Memaisa Loikin Olav. The answer is Rabbi Lazar's statement, according to Ravin, is following the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, who says that a person could get malchus for a lav shein memaisa. Tanya, we learn in a brisa when the pasuk says about the korban pesach lo yisiru mimenu ad boker, don't leave anything of it over until the morning. Now that's a lav, don't leave over any of it. Then the pasuk comes and gives you an esa afterwards that anything that's anything that's left over from it you should burn. So Rabbi Yehuda says that teaches us, therefore, he doesn't get malchus for leaving over from the korban because if Hashem is telling him, if you leave over from the korban, make sure you burn it. That's Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yaakov says you don't really need that. That's not the reason why he's not chayiv malchus. Ela mishum dehavalei lav shein memaisa. Because leaving it over is a lav shein memaisa. He didn't do something and there was leftover. V'chalav shein memaisa lo kinolav. Miklal, well, we see from that discussion, did Rabbi Yehuda sava lo kinolav. So we see Rabbi Yehuda would hold that a person does get malchus for something for a lav shein memaisa. Therefore, according to Rabbi Yehuda, a person could get malchus for swearing or making a neder in the name of Avodah Zarah because even though there's no maisa, according to Rabbi Yehuda, he'd still be chayev. Now, interestingly, the Rambam paskins like what Ravin is saying over here, that if he makes a neder, a shvua, in the name of Avodah Zarah, then he gets malchus. So the Ravid says, what are you talking about? Or Gemara says clearly, only according to Rabbi Yehuda. The fact is, we say, lav shein memaisa, you don't get malchus. So the Noisa Kalim and the later Mephoshim give different explanations why one point is the very fact that our Mishnah puts them separately. First it mentions the hugging and the kissing and the sweeping and so forth, and then separately it mentions Noda B'Shmoy and Mekayim B'Shmoy is reason enough to say that the Tana of our Mishnah evidently holds that there is a difference between them. So fine, you can say that You can say on what grounds is he getting Malchus, but nevertheless, that would be that would be a reason. Nevertheless, he would still be getting Malchus. One point is maybe Avodah Zarah is unusually strict because Hukshal Chol HaTorah Kula, or because anyway it's a Shavua LaSheker, and he'd been and anyway a person makes a Shavua Sheker, he's Chayev, even though there's no Maaseh. So the same way if he's swearing in the name of Avodah Zarah. So in any case, there are so in any case that's how the Rambam paskins. He is, in fact, he is potter from Malchus for the hugging and kissing and so forth, but he is chayev for the noida and the nishma. Okay. Now, so let's analyze that part of the Mishnah. The Mishnah had said a noda b'shmoy, v'amakayim b'shmoy, hareza b'loisaseh. If a person makes a neder or shvua in the name of a desire, then he's over on a loisaseh. So hanoda b'shmoy v'amakayim b'shmoy menolon. Where do we know that there's a loisaseh about doing the, against doing those things? So d'tani, we learn in a brisa, the pasuk says in this week's parasha, v'shema l'kim acherim loisazkiru, do not mention the name of other gods. So what does that mean? Shaloi yoma adam l'chaveru shmoi li b'tzad avodas k'chav employness. For example, don't tell somebody else, wait for me near this avodas zara, like to use it as a to use it as a landmark. So it means that. Lo yishama al picha, and then when the pasuk continues, that same pasuk continues, it should not be heard on your mouth. That means shelo yudo b'shmoy v'lo yikayim b'shmoy. It means that a person should not make a neder or shvua in the name of avodah zarah, because then he's causing it to be on his mouth. The lo yigrim la'achirim, and also he shouldn't be causing others, namely goyim, sheyidru b'shmoy v'yikayim b'shmoy, that they should be making a neder or shvua in the name of avodah zarah. Lo yishama is in passive form, meaning you should not; it should not be caused through you that a goy is making a neder or shvur in the name of Avodah Zarah. Tosfos actually points out that even though it says, even though we're saying that lo yishama al picha includes several different things over there, why don't we call it a lav shebeklolus, as we just learned out about, as we just learned. So it shouldn't be chayiv malchus for it. But no, basically it's all the same thing. He's causing the name of Avodah Zarah to be mentioned. On the other hand, if we only a Tosfos points out, if it only said loisazkiru, then you would think that it means only swearing. You wouldn't realize this din, for example, to not say to somebody, wait for me, we're going to meet by this avodah zarah. Also Tosfos points out, the fact is the Gemara is going to point out soon that that you are allowed to mention an avodah zarah, that name that's written in whose name is written in the Torah. So we need both psukim, loisazkiru, don't mention names of avodah zarah, with the exception of the ones mentioned in the Torah. But lo yishama al picha, you're not allowed to cause that it should be mentioned for a neder or shvua, any avodah zarah, whether it's mentioned in the Torah or not. So we learn those from the Pesukim. Dover Acher, another explanation, Lo Yishama Al Picha, Azhor L'Mesis L'Madiach. Another point is the words Lo Yishama Al Picha, it should not be heard from your mouth, is also, this is where the Torah is giving a warning to not be a Mesis L'Madiach, not to try to convince other people to worship Avodah Zarah. Because after all, again, we have the punishment for it is listed elsewhere in the Torah. But we don't have a we wouldn't necessarily have a clear we wouldn't necessarily have a clear azhara for it. So we need this pasuk also to tell us that again Tosfos says not a lav shebeklolos. The general meaning of the pasuk is don't mention avodah zarah in any of various ways. That includes mentioning it as like saying wait for me by the avodah zarah. It includes mentioning it as swearing by it, and it includes mentioning it as convincing other people to worship it. Okay, the Gemara asks, Mesis, why would you need a posik? What do you need this posik to tell us about a Mesis? The posik says clearly that the Mesis is put to death and everybody should hear and they should be afraid and not do such a thing again. So you don't need the posik. So that itself constitutes a lie. They should see it and they should be afraid. And they won't do this again. So that means there's the lie. Don't do this kind of bad thing of convincing people to worship Avodah Zarah. So the Gemara says, you're right. Ella azhor l'madiach. So you're right. You don't need the posik le'yishama al picha to tell us about a mesis, but you do need for a madiach. A mesis goes and convinces one person or a small group of people to worship Avodah Zarah. A madiach does that to a whole city, where if they listen to him, they become an irani dachas. So they have different dinim after all. So you need a separate posik to tell us that you're not allowed to be a madiach, and that posik is le'yishama al picha. Okay. Next, we said, We said you're not allowed to cause that another person, that a goy, is going to make a neder or shvur in the name of Avodah Zarah. So the Gemara says, Messiah l'avur de Shmuel. Well, that din then supports what the father of Shmuel says. D'omer avur de Shmuel, also la'odim shi'asa shutfus ma'ovid kechavim. A person is not allowed to make a partnership with a goy, shema yischayev lo shvur, because it might happen as a result of an argument about the partnership, about the business deal or whatever, the goy may end up having to take a shvur, v'nishba b'avodas kechavim shaloi, and he's going to wind up swearing by his avodah zara. V'atoda amar lo yishama al picha, and here the Torah is saying it should not be heard because of you. So therefore, don't be causing him. Don't be in a partnership with him in the first place, where it's going to wind up that he's going to do that. Now, so what happens? So that's what we're saying. What happens that you that's what we're saying? Then you shouldn't do that in the first place. What about if he did make a partnership with a goy? Then what happens? So in Tosfos over here, the Rashbam says that it means if you're not even allowed to make the partnership with him, then yes, you're taka not allowed to accept the shvur from him. Meaning, if it comes to a case where you're in a part, where if you were over on this and you were in a partnership with a goy, and now he wants to swear, then the Rashbam says Yutaka wouldn't be allowed to accept it. You would have to say, well, look, either you're going to swear in Hashem's name, or I can't accept the Shavua, and if that means that I have to take a financial loss because you're not going to be willing to pay, then so be it. On the other hand, Tosfos says that maybe you would be allowed to accept the Shavua from him because it's called Kematzel Miyadim, like you're saving Jewish money from them. Rabbi Natan continues also to point out in Tosfos, another distinction is, anyway, because nowadays, Tosfos says, Rabbi Natan says, nowadays, the Christians, they don't swear by their actual, they don't swear by actual Avodah Zarah. What they're doing is they're swearing by their saints. And the saints, they consider them holy people and all that, but they're not really considering them gods. Unlike if they were to swear in Yozel's name, maybe it would be different. But here, where they're swearing in the names of their saints, then Rabbi Tam says that's not considered what we're talking about over here. He's meshat of shem shemayim v'davar acher. Fine, Tosfos says a goy is allowed to be meshat of shem shemayim v'davar acher. There is a bit we talked about on Omer Aleph that a yid can't, but Tosfos is saying over here that a goy could. Now there is a lot of discussion about that. Whether when we're saying that it means that goyim are allowed in shittuf, does that mean that they're even allowed to worship the shittuf? Meaning, in other words, here when they have their trinity, they have Hashem plus Lahavdil Yozel and whatever else, would that be mutter for them? The Ramah learns, and so do a number of other poskim, that yes, it means according to Tosfos that it's not avodah zarah for them to believe in such a thing. So it would be avodah zarah for us, but not for them. They can be bnei noach, even though they believe in Christianity and the Trinity in that. On the other hand, there are a number of poskim who say that no, what it means is they're also in shittuf. That kind of thing would be avodah zarah for them. They're just not also to swear with shittuf. So according to that, they would be allowed to swear in the name of their Trinity, but they wouldn't be allowed to worship it, let's say. There's a big machloikas about that point. What exactly is mutter for Bnei Noach? And Chassidus, in a number of places, it talks about, according to the mainstream opinion, that they are allowed shittuf. A reason behind it would be because, after all, they get their hashpa through the 70 sarim. So as it is, they don't get their hashpa from Hashem directly. They get it through intermediaries. So therefore, if they're kind of saying we believe in Hashem and we believe in that intermediary, then it's not so bad. Whereas for us, where we get our Ashpa directly from Hashem, so then we have no business doing such a thing. And as Reb Shimon had said, I don't want Aleph, a person who does, is Nekum and Olam. Okay. So anyway, so that's the point. When we say Lo Yishama Al Picha, means he's not allowed to cause that a goy is going to swear in the name of his Avodah Zarah. So again, according to Rashbam and Tosfos, that would mean he'd actually have to take the loss rather than allowing him to swear. Whereas according to Rabbeinu Tam, he would be allowed b'dieved to have him swear because matzel miyadam. And then you have different other points that are brought by different. The Rosh brings further about this. The Rosh brings from a Gemara in Megillah that mentions about one of the Chachamim that he says his special schus was he never partnered with a goy. So one possibility is it means everybody else was careless about this din of Avur de Shmuel, but this one Chacham Avur Bar Ihi was more careful. But then the Rosh goes on and then defends the Rabbeinu Tam's point that b'dieved he would be allowed. So Avur Bar Ihi went the extra mile. He didn't make a partnership in the first place, so that it shouldn't come to that. But if it comes to that, then b'dieved he would be allowed to have the goy swear. And then the post can talk about different other opinions and different details about that. And again, you also have this whole machlokas as to what are they also in shittuf or are they mutter in it. More on this topic of mentioning names of Avodah Zarah, the Gemara says, Ki osa Ula, when Ula came from Eretz Yisrael, bos b'kalnavai. He stayed overnight in a place called Kalnavai, and that contains the name Nevoi, which is the name of Avodah Zarah. Omalei Rava, so Rava asked him the next day, V'hecha Bosmar, where did you stay last night? Omalei B'kalnavai, and Ula names the place. Omalei, so Rava says, how did you say the name of the place? V'oksiv, v'shem alakim acherim lo yisazkiru. You're not allowed to mention names of other gods, and Nevoi is the name of an Avodah Zarah. How could you call the place that? You should have changed the name in a derogatory way or something. Nowadays, you also sometimes have that so Tosfos had said that the names of saints are not really considered names of Avodah Zarah, but nevertheless, people sometimes try to be careful for that. Famously, for example, a town in California, which usually is called after a certain saint, has been nicknamed Simcha Monica instead. So sometimes they make an effort to change the name. There's a town in New Zealand that has the whole name of the town is after Yoshka. And after a church, and they call it, and Jews over there call it for short Chichi, standing for the CHCH that's in the name. So you have this idea of not mentioning the name of Avodah Zarah. With that said, the poskim say, for example, if you have somebody whose name is like the name of Avodah Zarah, you'd be allowed to mention it. So you have, for example, you have these Goyish workers, these Hispanic workers named Jesus, you would be allowed to say that, even though that's the name for Yoshka in their languages. Anyway. So again, Rava is asking Ula, why you're naming the place Kal Nevoi, where it contains the name Nevoi. Omalei, so Ula tells him, Hochi Omer Rabbi Yechanan, this is what Rabbi Yechanan said, Kol Avodah Kachov Maksuva B'Torah Mutar L'Hazkir Shma. Any Avodah Zarah that whose name says somewhere in the Torah, then you're allowed to mention its name. Where does it say the name Nevoi? Now you have how Nevoi in the Torah, but there it's not being used as the name of Avodah Zarah. Where do you have it used as a name of Avodah Zarah? And it's in the Torah. Dichtiv, you have a Nevi'im. Korah Baal, Kurdis Nevoi. Baal is crouching down, and Nevoi is collapsing. Elsewhere, in the symbol meaning, it means that the statues of these Avodah Zarahs are collapsing and falling. The Gemara mentions elsewhere that it also means it's making fun of them and saying like they're falling and collapsing, like they can't hold their bowels in. They're suffering from diarrhea. The Gemara elsewhere mentions that you can make fun of Avodah Zarah. Actually, the Gemara is going to mention that here also. Anyway, so we see that Nevoi is mentioned as an Avodah Zarah. Now, why should it be that you're allowed to mention the name of Avodah Zarah that's mentioned in the Torah? How does that make it any better? So the Sefer Yireim explains because then it means that Avodah Zarah is bottle. So there's a sicha in Chelech of Gimel where the Rebbe talks about that. What does that mean? It's bottle. For example, Pa'ur is mentioned in the Torah, and it's clear in the Torah we're going to learn tomorrow in the Gemara that Pa'ur was still worshipped in the times of the Mishnah and the Gemara long after Chumash was written. So rather, the Rebbe develops the idea over there that it means it's bottle in the Yid's mind. He's not saying it at all in any way to honor the Avodah Zarah. Fakert, it means the whole tumah of the Avodah Zarah in the Yid's mind has been taken away, and it's purely a thing of Torah. Therefore, he's allowed to say it. Mefoshim also explained, by the same token, a person is also allowed to mention names of Avodah Zarah that are not mentioned in Torah, but that he's mentioning in the course of learning. Here we had in the Mishnah, we mentioned Merkulis, for example, even though that's not mentioned anywhere in the Torah. With that said, actually, Tosfos actually in a couple of places explains that Merkulis is actually an alteration of the original name. The original name was Kulis, which means the praiseworthy one, and the Chachamim added the Mer, which means the opposite of. But when Avodah Zarah is mentioned in the Torah, like here, Ibn Nevoi is mentioned in the Pasuk, then you're allowed to say its name afterwards. So therefore, Ula says I can mention the name of the word Kal Nevoi. So the Gemara says, Mosiv Rav, Ve'ilo K'siv Eloi. So you're telling me if it's not written anywhere in Tanakh, you're not allowed to say the name. Mosiv Rav Masharshi. Rav Masharshi says, I have a contradiction to that. We learn in the Mishnah in Zovim. So you have a Zov, you have a person who has a flow of Ziva, he becomes Tomei. Now, the actual, that when he, be, any amount of Ziva is enough to make him Tomei, even the tiniest drop of it. However, then you have, it takes two times for him to actually become a Zov, only one time. He's considered only a Baal Keri. You need two times for him to be a Zov. And then if he has a third time, then not only is he a Zov, but he also has to bring a Korban at the end when he becomes Tahor. Now, so you can have a case where he has one long emission that lasts as long enough to be considered two. So the Mishnah says, "Raw achas meruba kisholosh." If the, and the definition for that purpose is considered to be the amount it would take to dip in the mikveh and then dry off. So if a person has a ziva that lasts that long, then it's considered like two, even though it was one continuous emission. So now the Mishnah says, by the same token, raw achas meruba kisholosh, if a person saw one ziva which is as long as three normal ones, shohu kimi gadyon l'shiloi, namely the amount of time that would take to walk from gadyon to shiloi, or shiloyach actually is how it says in the Mishnah over there, shen shnei Villas of Shnei Sipogin, which is the amount of time that it would take to dip twice, to dip once in the mikveh and towel off, and dip again in the mikveh and towel off. Harei's a zov gomer, then he's a full-fledged zov and even has to bring a korban. Now we see, now the word gadyon means a place of Avodah Zarah, means a place where they were worshipping an Avodah Zarah named Gad. The Gad Yoin or Gad Yovan would be a place where the Yavonim set up an Avodah Zarah named Gad, and we see the Mishnah is using that as a landmark, even though it's a name of Avodah Zarah and it's not mentioned in the Torah. God nami michtav ksiv. So Ravina says, actually, it does say God in a pasuk tichtiv. Ha'urchem like God shulchan Yeshaya mentions people who set up a table in honor of God. So we see, therefore, that and so God means good fortune. So it means, in other words, like the avodah zarah, the mazel of good fortune. So we see it's mentioned in the pasuk, and again, therefore, the Mishnah can use it as a landmark. Okay. So further in this connection, the Gemara says, Amar Rav Nachman, kolitz and nosa asira, like we just said, any kind of litzonus, any kind of mockery is also except for litzonos against avodah zarah, which is mutter. Normally, mockery, litzonos, the Gemara mentions in other places, is a very serious thing. It means that it causes a person to not take things seriously. It means that he starts thinking of Torah and Yiddishkeit and the Ebishter and everything as one big joke, and that's a big problem. But here we're saying litzonos of avodah zarah is allowed. Dichtiv, as the pasuk we just quoted, Kora Baal Kodas Nevoi. Baal is crouching down and Nevoi is falling down and splashing. And the next pasuk continues, Korsu Choru Yachtav. They're collapsing, they're bowing down together. Lo yochlum, lo yuchlum, malet masa, they cannot extract the burden. Meaning, in other words, all the psukim are so Rashi explains the word kodesh over here in kosu means to have diarrhea. So like they're splashing out diarrhea. So in other words, the pasuk is talking about Baal and Nevoi as if they're like people or animals or whatever that can't hold their bowels in and they're dirtying themselves all over the place. So we see the pasuk is making fun of them as though like they're so full of it that they're having a hard time getting it out and it splashes all over. So we see the pasuk itself is making fun of Avodah Zarah. Ochtib, here's another pasuk. Dabru, doesn't actually say Dabru in the pasuk, but whatever. This is a nevuah. La eglois base oven, regarding the calves, the egloi azov, and base oven, which is a nickname for Beisel. Beisel means the house of Hashem. So instead we're calling it a derogatory way, base oven, the house of falsehood. Anyway, because of the eglois of the egloi azov in base oven in Basil, yoguru shchan shomron. Because of them, the neighbors of Shomron are going to be afraid that that Shomron, the capital of the Aseres HaShvatim, is going to be captured. Ki oval all of Amoy, because his people are going to be in mourning for him when Sancheirov and his army come and take the egloi azov away. All of Yogilu and his priests, the priests of that Avodah Zarah, are going to be Yogilu, are going to rejoice over him. So Rashi says, like now, up until now, at this point, the Gemara is understanding that it means that we're saying up until now they've been upset. These Egloi Azov are constipated, and the priests therefore are sad about it that our beloved Avodah Zarahs are suffering. Now they're finally able to relieve themselves, and therefore Chmorav all of Yogilu, and therefore now for the first time the priests can be happy about it that it's finally finally able to go to the bathroom, al kvoidoi kigola mimenu, because of its honor that it went in golos from it, al tiki kvoidoi, al kvoidoi, don't mean kvoidoi, it's honor, but kvoidoi, the heavy burden that they had inside them. So we see now they're not actually living animals. They don't, of course, produce waste, but the pasuk talks as though they do. So that's an example of talking about avodah zarah in a mocking tone. Elsewhere, Rashi explains, this Gemara is also brought in Megillah, Rashi explains the part of Chmor of Olav Yagilu a little differently, that until now, the priests had been happy about worshipping these Agolim, but now they're going to be sad that it's taken into Golos. Whatever the case, the point is, we see that the Pasuk is making fun of them and comparing them to people or animals who are unable to relieve themselves, and then all of a sudden they're able to. Okay. Talking more about the Avodah Zarah that Jews were worshipping at that time, Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, my dichtiv, Pasuk says, another Pasuk in Hosea, now they do even more Avedus. First it talks about how Yerovam had convinced everybody to set up the Egle HaZahav. Now the pasuk continues, V'ata yesifu lachtoi, now they increase their sins. V'yasu lehem masecha, they make for themselves molten idols, made by melting and pouring metal. Mikaspam, from their money. Kisvunam, according to their understanding. Atzavim, they're making statues for themselves. So what is this? What specifically those words, according to their understanding, the statues, what does that mean? Malamed shekol echad v'echad osad musirosei means that each person will make an image of his idol umanicha b'kisei and put it in his pocket. And whenever he remembers it, he would take it out of his pocket, out of his lap, umachabko menashka, and hug it and kiss it. So in other words, as it was bad enough they had Avodah Zarah in their temples. Now everybody has their own little personal Avodah Zarah in their pocket. And Marshall explains, therefore, the word kisvunam we can daushin as though it said kismunam, according to their picture, according to their image, like each person has their own little personal image of Avodah Zarah with them. So therefore, the Navi is criticizing them for that you're really getting so much into Avodah Zarah that you have these own little personal ones that you take with you everywhere you go. Next, that same posse continues. My zoyche odem agolim yishokun. The end of that pasuk in Hosea continues. Those who kill people, kiss the calves. So what does that mean? We sometimes use that rhetorically to talk about people like Peter or whatever who believe in animal rights over human rights. So like they're going and kissing the calves, and meanwhile they're going and killing and shechting people. But the Gemara explains. Well, along somewhat the same lines, but not exactly. So Rabbi Yitzchak from the yeshiva of Rabbi Ami explain, the priests of the Avodah Zarah would look after people who have a lot of money. They want to be able to confiscate their money and use it for their temple of Avodah Zarah. So they had live calves over there. They didn't just have the Egle HaZahav that are made out of gold. They had live calves there in their temple as well that they're getting ready for the korban. So then they would make an image, a statue in the shape of this person that they want to confiscate his money. And meanwhile, the calves have been starved, so now they're going to go to this person. They would put the statue near the feeding trough where the animals would normally eat. So this way, like, they start associating this person with the food. And eventually, when this person is going to be coming by, then they would bring the calves outside. Then the hungry calves would see this person, and they recognize him from the statue of him that was there. They would run up to them, and they would start nuzzling against them, like they're asking for food. Now the priests would tell him, look at that, look at that, the Avodah Zarah wants you. Come, sacrifice yourself to the Avodah Zarah. It's obviously showing how beloved you are for Avodah Zarah. Now, how does that help take the money? Marashah says either what would happen is maybe the rule was that a person who was sacrificed to Avodah Zarah, then his money is automatically given to the Avodah Zarah temple. Or maybe what it means is that therefore the guy would say, I don't want to be shechted for Avodah Zarah. I'll pay you lots of money to get out of that, and therefore they'd get his money that way. So whatever the case, that's Rabbi Yitzchak is explaining, that's this Zoyche Odom Agolim Yishokun. So they would sacrifice people by having the calves kiss them. Amar Rava, but Rava says that it doesn't really fit with the words of the pasuk. Hai zoche adam agolam yishokon, agolam yishokon lizbayach adam yibayalai. Then the phrasing should be the calves kiss the person in order that he should be sacrificed. Ela Amar Rava, so no, Rava says rather what the pasuk is saying. Kol hazeveach es bnoi la'avodas kechavim, when a person in those days would sacrifice his son to avodah zara, Omar loy omim loy, the priests of avodah zara would tell him, you've doren gadol hikriv loy. Look at that, you brought such a tremendous present to avodah zara, your own child. Yovev yishak loy, you have the schus now. They would say to him to go now and kiss the avodah zara. So zoyvchei adam, they sacrificed people for avodah zara, agolam yishakun, and therefore they're being told now you have, so to speak, the schus to go and kiss these calves of Avodah Zarah. So that was the kind of thing that they were doing in those times. So we'll continue tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem, talking more about Avodah Zarah in those days and different psukim. About that, one thing maybe worth mentioning in this connection, there were the Knanim. Eventually, so you had the Knanim, you had the seven nations of Canaan and Eretz Yisrael. Eventually, there was a group of them who moved to North Africa and then founded the famous city of Carthage over there. We find there were some of them who, there were the Girgashim who left because of Yeshua. Maybe there were others as well. Anyway, they founded a big important city over there called Carthage. And eventually, hundreds of years later, they had a series of wars with the Romans. They brought with them their Avodah Zarah rituals, including Moloch and burning children in honor of Avodah Zarah. It's brought in Roman history books that the Romans, and they themselves were pretty cruel people, they were shocked at what they found in Carthage over there by their enemies, that they found that they sacrificed children to Avodah Zarah. So as bad as the Romans were, they found that to sacrifice children, even they considered to be something beyond the pale. But he was saying that the Canaanim did it, and unfortunately, as we're going to learn in the Gemara, some Jews followed in that way as well, until eventually, as we'll learn tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem, the Chachamim finally got rid of the Yetzer Hara for Avodah Zarah by us altogether.